Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This podcast is about sex. If you're faint-hearted or easily offended, you might not want to listen, but you should. Join me, Tracy Cox, and Kelsey Chittick as we share honest and real sex advice on this award-winning podcast.
Tracy is an international sex educator and author of lots of books about sex and relationships.
Kelsey is a podcaster, comedian, and author who is getting out of her comfort zone both in the bedroom and in these conversations.
Each week, we answer three anonymous sex and relationship questions sent in by you, our listeners. And nothing is off limits. Here's Sex Talk. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Sex Talk, the podcast where Tracy teaches us what we need to know and what we need to try. How are you doing, Tracy? It's Christmas week. We are in the middle of Christmas week today.
Oh, I know. I'm feeling knackered already. We haven't even got to the fun bit yet. Actually, I did do a fun thing this week. I went to see ABBA. Well, not ABBA, the avatars of ABBA, the fake ABBA on screen, on stage or whatever. It was really good. It was a good night.
Good. You get out a lot. You do fun things. You're very...
I suppose living in the middle of London. But there'd be lots on in LA, wouldn't there? Maybe it's not as cultural as London. I don't know. No,
it gets dark so early, I don't go anywhere. See, she's progressive in the bedroom and in her social life. This is what I'm... You're my North Star. All right, we're going to get started. Sweet. We've got so many questions and thoughts from people that need to be answered by Tracy. So every time I read these, I have to take a minute. Okay. All right, here we go. First question. I have an issue with pubic hair. Basically, I'm not a fan, and I like it well manicured on both women and men. I shave my testicles and keep them neatly trimmed. My wife, however, has a laissez-faire attitude and sports a luxurious bush, though she does trim it before a beach vacation. I know that the issue is mine, no doubt a result of conditioning from porn, but I find hairy bits and pieces a turnoff. Should I try to reprogram my mind? And if so, how?
I was going to say this is a prickly topic, but I thought, no, resist. there's lots of debate about it. There is. And I would say that it's a generation thing and an age thing, because nearly all the research I did, half of all young women in the US and the UK take it all off. Most young men do exactly what this guy does, shave the testicles and trim. And 80% of all women between the age of 18 and 65 remove some of it or all of it. But I would say it's definitely more young people than older. I think the older you get, the less you can be bothered doing it.
Right.
And I'd like to know the age of this person. But I don't think there's a right and a wrong. I don't think we have any right to say to somebody, you have to do this with your pubic hair or not. Do you?
No, I think everybody should do what they want with their pubic hair. That is something we all should have, a right to do what we want. I do think, though, I think there's a sense of cleanliness and organization and something that it like fresh. You want to be fresh. You want to be fresh. You want to be neat. You want to be like, I even if like someone, like a man has like a good haircut. I think that you just want to keep things under control. I personally like to have a very manicured look on both myself and my partner. To me, it feels more hygienic. It's more attractive. You can get to places easier. But I will tell you, as a kid, I was on the swim team and my mom never mentioned this. I mean, she never once said, hey, sweetie, you might want to like trim that or take care of that. And so when I got to college, I remember I walked into the locker room at University of North Carolina and I was changing. I was taking a shower and everybody there is kind of naked and everyone was like, whoa. And I was like, what? You're like, wait a second, what's happening there? And I was like, I don't know what you guys are talking about. They're like, have you never trimmed? Have you never shaved? Like, what's going on? I'm like, I don't know. I've always been this way. My mom's like this. We don't talk about it. And I mean, I got railed like right out of the gates. And from then on, I've been very aware of taking care of that. I do think it's just like anything else. You have to take care of it. Mm. I do have friends that are like, let's let it fly. It's not my jam.
Yeah. But you know what I found interesting is that if you talk to young people like my stepdaughter, she is not aware that there's a choice. She feels like I just have to have it. I would be weird. I would be getting the same treatment you got if I let anything grow. And I mean, let's face it. I mean, taking hair removal is bloody expensive. It's humiliating if you want to get a Brazilian. You've got to like go on your fours and let somebody look at your whatnot. I mean, it's just, you know, if it's itchy when it grows back, it's irritating. Maybe this guy's wife is super sensitive and she's just thought, you know what, this is all setting things off for me. I'm not going to go there. But what I agree with you that there is a difference between hair removal and trimming and keeping things nice and tidy. And I think, I mean, especially, I mean, he describes her bush as luxuriant, which made me really laugh. It really tickled me, which I'm imagining in my head, it's very high and there's lots of it, a bit like you, Kelsey, when you at the swim team.
Me, younger Kelsey.
Uh-huh. Younger Kelsey. But, and I think he's, there's nothing wrong to say to his wife, would you mind trimming? Because it's a look I like. And also the main reason why people trim and keep things nice and tidy is what you alluded to, which I'm going to say outright, is that hairs get in your mouth during oral sex. And there is nothing worse than getting a hair in your mouth during oral sex. And it does stop that problem if you keep things a little bit trimmed. But if she turns around and says, this is my business, this has nothing to do with you, and I don't like that look, so sod off, then yeah, he probably does have to reprogram himself. And he already knows the answer to that because he's already told us how he got programmed that way. And that's porn. So if he changes his porn habits to watching women who have pubic hair, then his brain will refocus to that. And I even did, this is how far I will go for my listeners. I went onto YouPorn and typed in hairy bush and I was greeted with a spectacular array of choice. Miles will get quite the surprise if he looks up my history and think, oh my God, what is my wife into? But you might want to watch those and retrain your brain. But I think this is a sort of mild problem, not a big problem. And I think, I don't know, I'm getting the feeling this guy has already asked his wife and she said no, and he doesn't know whether to get annoyed about it.
Yeah, I love what you said. There's a difference between keeping things trim and tight. And then I tried one time before our honeymoon to get a bikini wax. And no lie, and I don't want to get too far on this podcast because I'm such a class act, but I remember after they took one side off, I was like, that's it. We're going to have to stop there because the pain is so huge.
Oh, it's awful.
I thought that they had pulled my private part up to my – I mean, it was – the pain and the feeling and the sensation was – I was like, he's going to have to focus on the right side the entire honeymoon because the left side is going to have to stay because I have some friends that swear by it and they do it every 6 weeks and
oh,
then
God.
They're like, it
I
keeps me better.
It hurts.
Like, I will never, ever lay on my back, grab my feet, hold them back and have someone put hot wax on my private parts. Like it's not ever going to happen and I'm never going to flip over and do the other stuff. So just know for me, we will always be using clippers and trimming, keeping it nice and tight, but we will not be waxing.
No.
Okay.
I think we should probably leave it at that.
Okay. Let's go on to something less painful.
All right. Okay. Second question, please.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Second question. I absolutely love having my breasts played with during sex, but find most men ignore them after an obligatory squeeze. How can I encourage my lovers to pay more attention? And apart from the obvious fondling, what else is nice to try?
Interesting, isn't it? I mean, I have never been that into breast play because I didn't used to like feeling on my nipples. My nipples are basically dead, but the rest of my breast enjoys breast prey. But I think the main thing to say is that, as evidenced by my little segue there, it's very personal. Some people love it, some people don't like it. So when she's with a new lover or her own lover, she needs to tell him that she loves it, make it very clear. Lots of moaning, lots of groaning, lots of, oh, that feels great. Put his, you know, grab his hands and put it where you want them, and sort of let him know, because lots of women don't like it, and lots of women don't like it at a certain time of the month. So plenty of men have had their, you know, hands pushed away at a certain time of the month, and then later on it would be welcome. So I was thinking about, and some women can actually orgasm purely from breast stimulation. Did you know
Lucky.
That?
No, but I wonder if we can train for that. Yeah.
It's impressive. Yeah. Nice things to try. Well, the most obvious, non-obvious one really is temperature play, which is using hot and cold to create a sort of difference in sensation. And it's one of those things where you think, really? But it actually feels quite nice. So how you might do it, your lover might have a warm glass of something by the bed and an ice cube in another container. They drink the hot drink, kiss your breast, and then they put an ice cube all over it. And it can feel really quite nice. And most of the feeling in the breast is on the skin. It's not on the fat. So men immediately go into that kneading dough scenario, squeezing and kneading, which is women's least popular breast technique. I don't know whether you're up for that, but I think stroking and kissing is so much better. I mean, there's so many things you can do. You can lick, you can suck, you can bite, you can kiss. You can roll the nipple between the thumb and the forefinger. The nipple area and the areola are the most sensitive, but stroking underneath the boob, on the side boob, all feels really nice as well. Vibrators work really well on breasts, especially around the nipple. Put it on low and then sort of ramp it up if you like. Ticklers feel really good, which are just basically feathers. Like, use a feather duster if it's clean on your breast. It feels really, really nice. And nipple clamps. And nipple clamps are very interesting because they're almost a beginner entry bondage play toy that lots of women try. And if you like your nipples pinched, you think to yourself, yeah, I'm sure nipple clamps feel great. Can I warn you, Kelsey?
Please
go for the beginner ones, because Jesus Christ, it hurts. Honestly, you put them on, you're like, what is this? Get it off, get it off. Try a peg and you will see how much that can hurt. Just try a peg on your nipple, everyone at home, and just see how that feels. So if you are going to try some nipple clamps, please get ones that are soft, beginner type nipple clamps. If you like that look, though, you can. I was looking online for all this, and you can sort of dress it up with chains that go from one nipple to the other nipple. Nipple tassels look very attractive. I've sat in on enough shoots for my sex books where I'm watching naked people, and they often use nipple tassels to get away with, you know, like whether you're allowed to show the nipple or not. And they look really good. And you can also buy these little things called nipple suckers, which are like little cups that attach to the nipple through suction. And then they make everything feel, you know, increase the circulation and sensitivity because of the suction. So I don't know about the nipple suckers for me, but apparently they're a big thing. There's plenty of variety of them online.
I mean, it's like a whole world that you don't even know about when you're in suburbia in America. Or maybe I'm just, you don't know.
Your friends might be wearing all these things when they're coming out to lunch with you.
I hope so. Yeah, I'm a boob person for sure, which is ironic because I have no boobs.
I haven't got any boobs either.
I've got none, but I do like that part of it. And now I have so many things. When you're saying like a clip, like you, like a home, like a, not a paper clip. I'm coming to the wrong word that we use in America.
We're not very good at explaining this stuff. Yeah.
Trying to figure out how we say it in America, but
clamp,
I can't.
A clamp.
Yeah. I know what you're
like
talking about.
Like imagine a peg, but they're often made of steel. So yeah. It's like a, God almighty.
How about like if we use like a, what if we use like a chip clip that you, you know, when after you eat your potato chips and then you fold it down and clip it?
So that's right.
You've got everything you need in the kitchen. No, that's great.
That's right.
I think most women really do enjoy that. And I agree, but not when you're at certain times in your month where your boobs are really sensitive. So what a good guy. What a good guy to ask. And, you know,
I think it was a woman.
A woman. And then his wife or girlfriend's going to be happy.
She will.
Okay, good for her. All right, last one. I really love my partner of 8 months, but find my desire for him rapidly disappearing. I suspect it's because of his neediness. He seeks my approval for everything he does, and sometimes it feels like he can't make a single decision without checking with me. It's nice to have my opinion respected, and in many ways it suits me because I like to be in control, but sex is the casualty. I want him to take charge in bed and be more assertive. Instead, he adopts the same role as he does out of the bed. How do I broach this without offending him?
What's your take?
Oh, I don't like neediness. Mm. I don't like it at all. I'll be honest. I don't like, and I like somebody to take charge in bed. That's the one place where I want to not be leading.
Well, that's interesting that you say that's the one place that I like to not be leading, because this whole sounds a lot to me like a man-child relationship, like Peter Pan, you know, men who never grow up. But it can be caused by really highly efficient women end up creating helpless partners.
Oh, yeah, and I know that.
I am guilty of that. And I'm guessing you are a bit too. Because it's very, if you can do something really quickly and in 2 seconds flat, and it takes your partner, you know, even 3 minutes, I've got no patience. Oh, for God's sake, I'll just do it. And then they learn, A, that you'll do everything, which is great. Yep. And also that if they try, it's never going to be good enough. So then they double check with everything. Like my poor old Miles, my husband, I send him down the shops and he's like, you know, he rings me every time. I don't think he's ever been able to go down and get something from the shops without ringing me and going, should I get this brand of tomatoes or that brand of tomatoes? And I'm like, can you just make a decision, please, and do it? And then he'll come back and go, right, fine, come back. And then it's the wrong tomato, so he has to go back down and take them back. So to cure the neediness, you have to stop enabling the neediness, really. And I mean, neediness is not sexy at all. And the reason it isn't is because it sets up this sort of unnatural dynamic, which creates these unpleasant sexual sort of subconscious feelings, because you don't want to have sex with a child. So why would you want to have sex with your partner who's behaving like a child?
Right.
It is not good. And if you don't respect your partner, which neediness can make you not respect your partner, then of course desire is going to go, because we want somebody who stands beside us, not sort of tucks in under our skirts like a little child. Or, you know, we want somebody to shoulder responsibility, not drop it at our feet like a puppy. And so really, this woman needs to take charge, not just for the sex, but for the whole respect of the relationship. But her way out is her way, the fact that she's done it. She's the one who's created this monster, as much as, you know, he maybe was fine to be, you know, manipulated this way. But so her way out is to say out of bed the next time, look, when he says, what should I do about this? You say, I've just realized I'm such a control freak. You feel like you have to check with me for everything. You make this decision, you know, don't worry about it. And he'll say, well, what, it was wrong. Doesn't matter. And just repeat this over and over, start off small. And when he does come back with the wrong tomatoes, you can't shout at him. And then in bed, you do the same thing. It's like, I always get to be the boss in bed. Why don't you be the boss in bed? Why don't you take charge? And, you know, and I'll light back and, you know, think about it next time. Think about all the things you'd like to do to me. So turn it into a bit of a game. Now, he's going to be shy because he's not going to be used to in this role. You'll feel weird as well. But if you've just got to keep on doing it. But you're right to try and tackle it, because it will destroy. Now, there is another direct move that you could try. I thought this rather inspired myself. Was you could say to him, because it sounds like it works all right out of bed. So if the only problem is in bed, you could just say to him, look, I'm completely intrigued by BDSM. I'd love to be tied up. I'd love to be spanked. I'd love to be treated like a sex slave. Would you make my fantasy come true? And sometimes if you ask him to do it as a character and in a fantasy, he can take himself out of himself and might be able to do it. Sometimes people find that easier. Like actors are often really shy when they're interviewed, but when they're in character, it's easy. What do you think?
No, I love it. I think that's why I'm not an actor, because I'm like, I don't know how to be anything but this. Yeah, I love that idea. That I do think that, looking back, I think women, we go so fast and we have so many opinions about so many things, which is great. But then in certain situations, we want to turn it off and be like, not a damsel in distress, but we want to be taken care of, or we want to be passive and have somebody make the decisions. And it's normally in bed. You want a guy that's into it and telling you what to do and where to go, and that you can kind of just relax and enjoy it. But it's really hard to pivot from a day-to-day life of living with somebody where you're an uptight, controlling woman to being just like free and open to anything in bed.
This is why role play works.
Yeah.
This is why role play works, because you get to be somebody other than who you are. Because you're right, it's very, very difficult to go, right, actually now I'm not, needy Miles, even though he's not that needy. But I mean, I'm going to be suddenly, you know, sexy Miles.
Yeah.
It's hard to switch roles. And for me, just go, right, you can do whatever you want and I'm just going to lie back and take it all. It is difficult.
It's so interesting for me, because I was married for so long and with my husband for so long, and now that I'm 45 and I get to kind of create a whole new persona, it's amazing how much you want to change. Like if you have an opportunity, which is a hard one, but such as this, like there's so many things I've changed about myself because you have a chance. It's just hard to do it when you're in the spot with the person you've been with forever. It's very hard to make that change because those pathways of how you interact are so deep. And I was so bossy.
And that's why people have affairs. The number one reason is because people say, I got to reinvent myself.
Yep.
Because it's very hard to reinvent yourself within the relationship in anything. But you can do it. You can do it. You just got to start off soon. But I think I have high hopes for this woman because I think that she is well aware that she's the person causing it. Yeah. So, and I think if you know that, and she's smart, so she can manipulate the situation. But you could try the BDSM thing and not even try the other stuff.
Get wild, lady. Try something big. And he's probably deep down been waiting for this for so long. He probably hates the way he acts too. There's nothing worse than needing someone's approval constantly. So okay. All right. I think we're done for this one.
I think we are.
You're brilliant. We'll talk to you next week.
You're brilliant, and I will talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Sex Talk. If you'd like your question answered on the show, send it to us at sextalkpod.com. So that's sextalkpod.com. You'll find info about my books, sex products, and more sex advice at tracycox.com. And that's Tracy with an E. If you like this podcast, please send it to your friends and rate and review wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.